Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 610. This is your host, Danny. And also joining me this week, Pete. What's going on, Pete?
You said that so depressingly, like it's Pete.
Nah, I'm excited. Come on, Pete, I'm excited. What's up, man? It's been a very busy week for all of us.
Yeah.
Paris is not joining us this week.
His old cantankerous, mad, angry, salt-ridden, high-sodium self is out celebrating his birthday. So congratulations, old man. Congrats on reaching the famous 4-3.
4-3. So everybody, when you reply to Paris, say happy birthday and just put 4-3.
That's it.
That would mean a lot to him. Yeah, man. Interesting week, man. Lots of things to talk about. But we're going to keep this episode kind of short. Maybe 30, maybe 40. Let's see what happens. But it's been a lot of things going on with us, man. So, but at least we're recording an episode for the listeners. All right? So head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag and listen to our past episodes. And you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and all the podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/GamertagRadio.
All right, Pete. So let's talk about this, man. The conversation that everybody's talking about, especially the journalists.
Titanfall 2?
About this. No, well, besides Titanfall 2, of course. We are going to talk about Titanfall in a few. But Bethesda, this new review policy that they just posted on their blog a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. Now, what's going to happen, all the review sites, gaming media, and also YouTubers, and even podcasters, everybody's going to get the game, I believe, the day before the game comes out. So what are your thoughts? To me, I don't see any issue with it. You know, I know they started doing that with Doom, and everybody was kind of afraid, like, wow, is this game going to be kind of crappy by them doing that? Because usually companies have done that in the past because they're afraid of the consumers to cancel their pre-order based on the reviews and stuff. But the game came out, and a lot of people saying, yo, this is contender for game of the year. So what are your thoughts about this, Pete?
All right, so I think for those that aren't aware, we should just maybe quickly read it off so that people understand what was said. So it's not, they're not just taking it for face value, even though we try to be as truthful and as unbiased as we can. So at Bethesda, we value media reviews. We read them, we watch them, we try to learn from them when they offer critique, and we understand their value to our players. Earlier this year, we released Doom. We sent review copies to arrive the day before launch, which led to speculation about the quality of the game. Since then, Doom has emerged as a critical and commercial hit and is now one of the highest-rated shooters of the past few years. With the upcoming launches of Skyrim Special Edition and Dishonored 2, we will continue our policy of sending media review copies one day before release. While we continue to work with media streamers and YouTubers to support their coverage, both before and after release, we want everyone, including those in the media, to experience our games at the same time. We also understand that some of you want to read reviews before you make your decision, and if that's the case, we encourage you to wait for your favorite reviewers to share their thoughts.
Hmm.
So, me personally, taking off my Gamertag Radio hat, I'm okay with this. There's a handful of titles that, and handful of developers that I will buy games from day one, sight unseen. Putting on my Gamertag Radio hat, it's the exact same response.
There you go.
No, dead serious. And the only reason is because I'm gonna typically buy the games of the titles that I purchase, but coming from a consumer's perspective, I'm typically going to take the reviews of the people that I listen to, whether they be a podcaster, a streamer, or someone I personally know that I have, you know, common interest with, and we have the same opinion and viewpoints. Those are the people, other than like whatever I'll see on a trailer or gameplay vids and stuff like that. Those are what I use to make my decision. I don't typically say, okay, well, if they got it early, like a week or two, that's not going to sway my decision either way. Right. So putting back on the GTR, Scully, I don't think this makes a big difference. And I think those that are just making a big deal out of nothing. Now, I understand people from the Kotakus and the Joysticks or Polygons and all the other major media sites may have a bone of contention with this decision, simply because A, it's their livelihood. They make their money on providing reviews prior to, but I think their response earlier on may have been a little emotional versus allowing them to sit back and really think through the process. Cause they're saying that by Bethesda doing something like that, that they're being anti-consumer and anti, you know, like, I don't know. I think they're making a big mountain out of a molehill. And I think consumers need to be wary. Consumers need to wait until they can get as much exposure to what they're going to purchase, other than a hype trailer or commercial, you know, in the middle of UFC or something, to make their decision. I think consumers need to be much better informed when jumping in, because we've all been burned in the past by games that have either required a day one patch or have been buggy and broken since day one, you know, cough, No Man's Sky, cough.
That's true.
Okay.
But here's the thing, though, that a lot of people don't know is that we heard about this long time ago this is even before Gamertag Radio, back in the days, a journalist that were writing for magazines, the way how they used to cover games, they used to get to see the game maybe 2, 3, even 4 months before release. And that's how they would review the game based on that. And then bloggers came out, a lot of internet websites. Those same journalists that used to write for magazines used to complain about all these bloggers getting access to the games, early access, and they post the content right away instead of waiting for 2, 3 months like the magazines. So I'm seeing a change now in the industry that is, I see this happening too with like the streamers and YouTubers. I think a lot of the gamers are going to that route instead of waiting for Kotaku, IGN, or Polygon to post the reviews. I think that the industry is changing, and it happens every few years. It happened with podcasts. It happened with blogging, you know, now with YouTube and streaming. So I know there's a lot of people that are part of the media industry. They're going to hurt, because if they do release a review a couple of days later, yeah, the hits is not going to be that much compared to a game that hasn't been released and they post a review. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's say Titanfall 2, a couple of days ago, they just posted a bunch of reviews of that. And so far, it's been great. Mm-hmm. And it's helping to create a buzz, and people are going to those websites, reading the reviews, good or bad, and it create hits, you know? So I can see both sides. I think also what I've been reading too is a lot of journalists have been complaining that I believe there's a YouTuber or a couple more that they already have copies of the game, and they've been posting videos of the game and then commentating the game too on YouTube. So they're like, wait a minute, I thought we all getting at the same time. Why this person is getting this game way earlier than everybody else?
Well, they did say after the fact, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was the same day, that there are specific influencers that they will do these for, you know, those that think that Bethesda feels will better serve their consumers. And at the end of the day, it's Bethesda's decision. Just because you happen to write or you happen to be employed by any specific media outlet doesn't give you any more credence or ability or power. You know, this is Bethesda's decision. You have to abide by it. And if you don't like it, unfortunately, then maybe you don't get to review it earlier than everybody else, and you're stuck in the same boat as the rest of us. And when I say us, I don't mean you and me in Paris, but I mean, you know, as a consumer base as a whole. So I think everybody needs to just take a step back, take a sip of your scotch or whatever you're drinking, and not take this so personal. And again, I understand we've got companies, you know, that this is their bread and butter. This is what puts food on the table for them and their families. But I don't know. Sometimes not every time a game will come out and it's going to require, like, let's say a day one patch, your review is going to be based on a quote unquote buggy or a potentially glitched thing because they don't have that day one patch. So their review is technically not 100%. It's pending, you know, and they might be required to go back and push it back. There's been times where I've gotten media review copies that have died on launch day, you know, like, let's see, it was a perfect example. Saints Row 4. Like, I was able to
I remember that.
But then come launch day, when I tried to do multiplayer or co-op with my friends, I couldn't because I had a media copy. Not a big deal. I enjoyed it so much. I went out and I paid for my own copy so I could play with my... Actually, lies. My friend bought it for me because we had so much fun playing it, playing the previous versions, that he went out and bought me a copy of it. You know, so it's just... I don't know. And maybe I take that stance that, you know, I don't feel we are on the same level as the Polygons, the Rock Paper Shotguns, and those sites. But I don't think that a decision like this made by Bethesda should influence a potential future relationship that you may have with them. You know what I mean? So it's almost like a sense of entitlement, but they shouldn't be. Like, it's at the end of the day, and I think Mandy said this in a conversation the other day with regards to this. This is not a right. Like, this is like, it's not something that, you know, it's not a God-given right that we get the codes. It's a privilege, and we should be happy if we get it. Like, there's games, I'm not going to call out names, there's games that we've wanted to cover or review, and we haven't gotten those. We haven't gotten review copies. It's okay. It is what
it is. That's fine.
And that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
We'll go out, we'll buy it and we'll play it, and it won't affect our judgment, or won't create a bias when we do our review. The review is going to be the same, regardless of whether you sent me a free copy FedEx overnight, or if you sent it to me 2 weeks in advance, or I had to go out to the store and buy it myself. It's not going to make a difference. Our review is going to be based on our review. I just don't think that people should get up in arms as a whole.
I totally agree. So, listeners, let us know what you think. This is a good thing, bad thing? Let us know. Call us or email us, and we definitely will play it on the show. All right, Pete, let's talk about this, man. Nintendo. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple days ago, they announced Nintendo Switch.
Really? I didn't know.
A lot of people are pumped. Anyway, a lot of people are really, really excited for this. Mm-hmm. But now there's new details that the price and the launch day will be announced on January 12th. They're going to have a press conference live from Tokyo. And I believe they're also going to have media events after that, maybe like a couple of days or maybe a week after that or so. And they're also, there's going to be retail stores where the gamers could go and check out maybe a demo, or maybe they'll have like a community event for the gamers to check out, like the Nintendo Switch before it releases and stuff. So January 12th is going to be a big day. This could be a good news or bad news for Nintendo, but your prediction, I know we have to go to Miss Leo.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. The guys at Gamertag Radio have pulled me out of retirement to give them some free readings. So I've been using the power of the tarot cards to look into the future, baby, and I've given them my predictions. You hear me?
One more time before we go to the next topic. Price. Price. Very quick. And launch day. You want to... any predictions?
And you're going to throw launch day at us?
And launch day too, man. Hey, let's go for it, man.
All right. I'm going to say... All right. So, hold on. Let me go hit the trusty calendar here. I am going to say May 1st.
Well, no, May 1st isn't March.
So what do we care?
It's March. It's the month of March. Pick a date.
All right. I'm going to say March 1st.
Okay.
And I'm still saying $300.
$300.
$300.
Okay.
God, I feel like we're in the Price is Right.
All right. So I'm going to go
301.
301, like the Price is Right. No, I'm going to go 249. And I believe it's going to be on a Friday. Usually Nintendo release stuff on Sundays, but I think they're going to change it up a bit. They're going to release this system on a Friday. So I'm going to go with March 24th of 2017 for
$249.
Is that a good one? I mean, that's...
I kind of want to change it to the Ides of March, March 15th, just because I've always loved that line from Shakespeare, the Ides of March. But no, I'm sticking March 1st, I think. Looking at $300, $299 if you want to get specific, $299.99 if we're playing The Price is Right. I wish Paris was on the show.
I know. Paris, come on, let us know. Post it on Twitter, Paris.
So I would love for the video, because I know everybody, you know, was like all excited that we got this big 3-minute video and everything, and then we got what was the trailer that we got that was like 30 seconds that everybody got all up in arms about because we didn't get enough information.
Oh, Red Dead Redemption. 60 seconds.
I want Nintendo. I know it's not going to happen. They're going to make a big production out of this, but I would love for them to just do like a 6-second trailer, like a Vine, like good night, peace out. Because I know I think it was announced today that Vine is being shuttered by Twitter. But I would love
rest in peace, Vine.
Yeah, I would love like a 6-second like date, price, done.
Yeah, they should do that. That would be great.
Just like a 6-second, like a Snapchat, whatever journey or whatever that thing.
Well, by that time, Vine is going to be done and gone.
Yeah, I know. So I'm just saying you could use Vibe. I think Vibe is the technical replacement for it from what I've been reading. But no, I would. I don't think they need to do anything else. I think they could live on that presentation from the other day. Just say, you know, just like a 6 to 5, you know, 6 maybe 10 second video. Just Nintendo, $299, March 1st, and then the right side Joy-Con just clicking closed, and then it's done.
Remember that March 24th, $249. Remember that.
We'll see. It kind of makes sense because you got the 24 and the 24, the 249, and 24.
I have my reasons why I picked 24. I have my reasons. Yeah. I think that putting it a little bit later in the month, it will be easy for them to have more units available.
Well, Foxconn's there's already been information leaked out to the public. Foxconn's already in heavy production of this thing. So.
Okay. All right. So you think it's going to be early March,
March 1st.
Well, on a Wednesday.
Take advantage of that first check.
Yeah. All right. So, Pete, let's talk about Titanfall 2. Shout out to Respawn, EA Games for sending us the game. This is not a review.
No.
Because I feel that we should play a little bit more.
Yes.
And
would love to do some multiplayer, too, because I haven't had a chance to.
Yeah, the multiplayer, too. That's another thing, too. But... Monday's episode, we're going to have a review of the game, but Let's talk about my impressions, because I've been playing this now for a couple of days, and dude, the campaign is legit, man. It's legit. I'll tell you this, and we will talk about more on our official review, but the game starts a little bit slow, but let me tell you, once you get that Titan and you see the interaction between the character that you're playing with and the Titan, game changer. Wow. It reminds me a lot of like Portal in certain situations in the game. But I'm loving it. I'm loving the campaign, man. I was never expecting this game to be this, like this, like campaign to be this good. Because, you know, we played the first one and it was interesting, but it was lacking, man. It was lacking big time, campaign wise.
Agreed. Agreed.
So this, I think, is a game changer. And, you know, this is the creators, the original Call of Duty. They did a great job with that game, but this one is, wow, it's freaking good, man. Super good.
Yeah, the first one was fun, and it introduced the power of the Titan, and it reminded you of how critical the pilots are. But in this one, and everybody admits it, the people at Respawn would admit it, that single player from that first one was an add-on, almost like a last-minute tack-on to the game. This one, you can tell that time and effort were well spent towards the development of this single-player campaign. And like you said, I love the dialogue between the main character and your Titan. I mean, it really shows and proves how you're building that camaraderie between each other. You're learning about each other, and it gives you I don't want to give too much away too out much. Of it. I mean, apparently a lot of other people are liking it. I mean, so far Giant Bomb's given it a 5 out of 5. GameSpot's near perfect. I don't know if they actually give actual scores.
No, they it was like a nine
superb.
A nine, right?
And then Polygon, you know, it was really, really strong on their review. They gave it a 7. So, okay, maybe not. Okay. So there's always that one outlier. I mean, right off the top of the bat, I'd put it in that 4 to 5 range. I think, GamesRadar gave it a 4.5 out of 5. I haven't had a chance to play the multiplayer, which is where a lot of the fun happens.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to play it tonight, 'cause it comes out tonight, midnight. I'm definitely going to be playing that.
Well, the servers are live, so if you want, we could probably jump on after the show and play.
I'm ready.
I tried to jump on yesterday, but there wasn't as many people on. I mean, I even went so far as to go to the London servers with some people, and just was really hard to find a game. But I think now, as more people are getting access to it and stuff like that, like it's already green in Australia, I believe. Maybe a good opportunity.
Oh, nice.
We'll find some more people online, so I think it'll be a good opportunity for us to play.
Definitely. I'm curious to see what Paris thinks about the campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we have little conversations here and there, but you know, I definitely would like to record that instead, you know, for the podcast.
No, absolutely.
But,
and then there's that other news that Respawn dropped today, and I don't know if this was a nod to us old school gamers or if it was more a middle finger to everybody else, but they announced there is no paid multiplayer DLC or season pass.
Thank you.
All maps and modes will be free in Titanfall 2 multiplayer. No splitting up of the community.
Thank you so much, man.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of games, they still do that, which I understand. They're trying to make extra money. It's cool. But I love when companies like Respawn, Respawn are actually making this move. They're confident. They're confident about the game. I know that when they say that they don't want to split the community into like premium or like, you know, people that have not bought like the season pass or whatever, they don't want to split it up. They want everybody to have the same content and just play.
Which I'm surprised EA greenlit this, because they're pushing Battlefield 1 now. It just literally just launched, and they're pushing that $50 season pass for them. So you're thinking that's a $110 investment if you're playing Battlefield 1, but it's only a $60 investment if you're playing Titanfall 2. And I think with Battlefield 1 coming out last week, Titanfall 2 coming out tomorrow, essentially in a couple of hours, if you think about it, and Call of Duty next week, this could be the move that helps Titanfall 2 tip those sales and performance goals scales. You know what I mean? So, you know, you've got a lot of players who may not have the amount of disposable income to throw away on a season pass or extra DLC at a $15 clip per. All you got to do is buy Titanfall 2 and you've got a solid single player so far. I haven't completed it, so I don't want to completely jump on the bandwagon, but so far it's a rock solid single player campaign. And if it's as good as what I experienced during the technical tests that we played earlier in the year, We've said it before, this could be that game for 2016 that takes, you know, that takes us away from the D game.
That's true. I do want to say this, cause I want to mention a lot about the story, but I care about the Titan a lot more. The time that I'm in the campaign, it's pretty dope. Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, so Pete, let's go and read some emails, man.
Oh. You want to read some fan mail?
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Yes, you do. All right. So we have a lot of emails. Some I want to save when Parrot gets here.
Okay.
All right. So the first email, this is from Trevor. He was like, "Hey, guys, new listener here. I just wanted to first and foremost say thank you for your content. I've always been a big gamer all my life, and your podcast helped me escape from average workday and focus on one of my true loves in this world, gaming. I stumbled upon your show through Spotify, and I couldn't be any happier that I did. Once again, thank you for all that you do and all the great content. Nothing but love for Portland." Trevor, thank you for the email, and hopefully you could listen to the show a lot more in the future. And that's cool. They found us on Spotify, man. So getting a lot of listens from Spotify. So that's awesome. All right, Pete, you have an email there?
All right, so this next one is from, and I think I've pronounced his name correct before, but I don't know if I was sober when I did it. So we're just going to go with the nickname Odie from Chicago. "What's up, Gamertag crew? I just had some thoughts on the 3DS. Nintendo said that they'll continue to support the 3DS, but I think they're hedging their bets when it comes to the Switch. Back when the Game Boy Advance was king and the DS was announced, Nintendo called the DS a third pillar to coexist with the GameCube and GBA. When the DS blew up in sales, the GBA was put out to pasture, and that whole third pillar approach quietly faded away. What are your thoughts? If it's successful, do you think Nintendo will go full bore on the Switch and make it the go-to home and handheld console and let the 3DS die out? Love the show."
Well, thanks,
Odie.
Odie. thanks for the email. You basically kind of answer your own question, because if the 3DS sales goes down, which is not, is doing really, really good, maybe that's when Nintendo's just going to focus on that, or maybe they'll release more mobile games. Because look, now they have 3DS, they're going to have Switch, and they're also going to be releasing games for Android and iOS. So they're everywhere. That's more money for Nintendo. So I doubt it if it's going to happen, because based on what I've been reading, Nintendo 3DS is doing really, really good worldwide, especially in Japan. So DP, you want to say something about that?
I think while it's not an official goodbye, because obviously you don't want to fracture that market. You don't want to fracture your consumer base. I think I brought this up when we first heard about the announcement and we talked about it on the show, that I think that while it's not an immediate death knell for the DS, I do think that in the next couple of years, as the Switch goes from infancy and goes into full maturity as either a console or a handheld, I think it could possibly replace it and then just have Nintendo just provide one product, the Switch, that'll satisfy the consumer that wants a console as well as the consumer that wants a handheld. You get both. You get two in one. So it's not an immediate thing, but I do see it happening in 2 or 3 years. You've got a lot of investment right now in the 3DS, and you've got a lot of product in the hands of consumers and on shelves. I don't think they're just going to go ahead and close that chapter out of their life. I think they'll leave it open for a couple of years, let it run its course, and then fade away.
All right, we have another email. This is from Adam. Hey guys, my name is Adam. Gamer tag Dry Ink. All right. I'm from Lexington, Kentucky. I recently started listening to the podcast, and I really enjoy the content that you guys provide. The Nintendo Switch was recently revealed, and I have to admit, I wasn't impressed. Do you think Nintendo continue to get a pass on gimmick with the whole hardware and their exclusives, console exclusives? Will we be seeing evolution like the analog stick and HD graphics provided? Right now, it seems like there's more Metacore graphics and exclusive titles on the way. Thanks. It's Nintendo, man. Here's the thing. When I play games, I really don't care about the whole graphics thing. Maybe P in Paris, maybe they're like that, not as much. But I really just care about just the gaming experience. I just want to have fun. I don't care if it's like 4K graphics or not, or 720, I really don't care. So I know that Nintendo make a lot of great games, and it's just fun online, especially local multiplayer games too. Which, like when the Mario Kart came out for the Wii U, I had a blast playing that with my family and us playing online against other people around the world. I mean, it's not no Xbox Live or PSN. But it was cool enough for us to have a blast, you know, and I think that's what we should be worried about more, you know, anything than worry about this whole like graphics and all that stuff. You know, I play games that looks amazing, but is boring as hell. So that's just my opinion. Now, but the whole analog stick. I mean, isn't it? With the whole tablet thing, Pete, don't you think that's a game changer? I mean, it's not the usual Xbox controller that we get to see from other companies, you know?
When you say tablet, do you mean the tablet from Wii U?
The Switch.
Oh, because it's not the Switch, a tablet, though, if you think about it. It's the controller.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not a tablet, but I'm talking about like the controllers from the, I mean, I don't know what to call that. I'm trying to.
The little handheld pieces, or the whole thing as a whole, as
the just the pieces, the combination of the pieces, and how you put in the gaming console.
The little ones are called Joy-Cons.
Joy-Cons. There you go.
So
and you could split that and play with one controller. You could split into two for two people. I mean, it looks really uncomfortable, but it's still a little game changer, I think, you know, for something a little quick. It's not for like 10 hours of gameplay just at the same time.
Like we said on the show, I really don't think that we're looking at anything more than 3 hours of powered on time on that.
Yeah.
Which, really think about it, is not a good thing. You know what I mean? Especially if you're going to be traveling.
Well, that's the rumor. It's not official yet. It's a rumor. And I think too, remember, there's time for Nintendo to make changes from now to launch. Maybe they'll get a better battery.
Now's not a good time to make that determination, though. Your Foxconn has already been shown. Foxconn is, I think, I don't know if it's a leak, if that could be considered a leak, but Foxconn's already producing parts. You don't do that now. All of that development and all that research should have been done months ago. Because right now into production. You don't go into production with changes.
No, Pete. I was gonna finish my thought.
No,
you just interrupted.
Yes.
No, but here's the thing. There's companies that already have prototypes of of the Nintendo Switch, usually those are not the final versions that's going to be coming out for the retail. There was probably time throughout the whole year that Nintendo probably made changes based on feedback. They made changes. We don't know yet. We don't know. So the rumor is that the things that the prototypes that these developers have, those are like maybe 2.5, maybe 3 hours max. But we'll see in the final version once it releases in March. 249, March 24th. Anyways, all right. So before we wrap it up, I read this article. This is cool, P. And this is something that I thought about you, too. So there's two guys in Havana, Cuba, that just launched a crowdfunding campaign for the first Cuban indie video game. It's called The Savior Game. Go to thesaviorgame.com. I'm going to play the audio very quick. I'm taking this from their video that was posted on Indiegogo. Check it out very quick.
My name is Josue Baglieri, and together with my partner at Empty Head Games, Johan Hernandez, we are creating Cuba's first indie game, Savior. I am a Cuban visual artist, and since I was a kid, it's always been my dream to create a video game. Now, Cuba is changing, and we feel it is the perfect time to make our game a reality. Savior is a 2D platform that features hand-drawn animation and novel gameplay mechanics. You begin the game as little God, who awakes from a strange dream to find that his whole world is crumbling, and maybe nothing more than a collapsing video game. You set out to save your world, traveling through numerous levels and encountering strange creatures and unexpected situations along the way. As a visual and multimedia artist, over the past several years, I developed numerous projects and videos inspired by video games. And at Havana's last Art Biennale, I debuted with my first playable non-game. Developing a game in Cuba is certainly a big challenge. We often have to use limited resources and out-of-date hardware, and it can be difficult to reach out to the global gaming community. Even something as simple as accessing the internet requires a trip to a Wi-Fi hotspot, which are only available in a handful of parks scattered around the city. Of course, creating the game here in Havana also provides us with endless inspiration. And while the country may lack resources, there's no lack of talent. With your help, we know we can make Savior a reality. This won't only help us realize our dream, it will help create a future for game development in Cuba. Join us.
So I'm trying to contact them to see if we could have them on the show. And right now they're trying to raise at least $10,000 for them to finish this game. So that's pretty cool, right, Pete? An independent video game company all the way from Cuba. And the thing that they even talked about on that video is that the only way for them to get Wi-Fi, they have to take their laptop. Mm-hmm. They have to go to like the nearest park, because in the parks in Havana, that's where they have Wi-Fi. And that's the only way for them to get access for the internet. That is insane. That's crazy.
Yep.
So in the video, you see a lot of people on their mobile phone, their iPods, or maybe laptops connected to the Wi-Fi for them to read what's going on, you know, online and everything, Facebook and so on. So it's pretty awesome, man. I hope it works out. Right now, the campaign, let's see how much they raised, because they just launched this like maybe 4 days ago. Right now, they're about to hit $9,000. So just search Indiegogo, put Savior Cuba's first indie game, and check it out. It looks really, really cool, man. It's a 2D platformer.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Have you seen this, Pete, the video?
I'm watching the video now as we're talking about it. So one of the things that really intrigues me about this, having family that lives in Cuba, having friends that have visited there, knowing the plight of the people, knowing what they have to deal with on a daily basis in the form of struggle from a political, from a financial, from a just an overall life perspective, to see them doing what they're doing with such little means and being able to produce games. I really do hope that something like this is successful to really prove that you don't have to have the latest and greatest to be able to deliver these experiences. And it looks really, really cool. And I really, really hope it's successful. And obviously time will tell at the end of the day, but yeah, I'm totally, totally anxious to see what this is all about.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We'll see. I'm going to try to get them on the show, man. Oh man. So this is also for the Mac and Windows. Oh, definitely going to get this for my Mac. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes, and you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and all the podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Jump. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@GamertagRadio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/GamertagRadio.
Pete, before we wrap it up, anything you would like to say before we finish recording?
Shout out to Q-Tip. He just announced he's been working with Busta and Consequence. And we got a new Tribe Called Quest album coming on November 11th, 2016.
Wait, what?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. When was this? Wait, when was this?
Literally like 50 minutes ago. I've been reading it over the last like 10-15 minutes while we've been talking in the background, but he said, oh, you know, he wrote like a note and he put a picture of and he posted it up on Facebook, but at the end, you know, he was essentially talking about how him, Jarobi, Ali and Fife, when they performed on the Tonight Show, that was their first time performing in like 18 years, and after that night they knew that they had it in them to do one more album, and that it was also the night of the Paris bombing, unfortunately, on November 13th, which is my birthday. It's kind of messed up. But after they left, they all knew. So they started working on an album. Obviously March 22nd, we lost Fife, got, you know, rest in peace, but everybody got back together. They picked up Busta, Consequence. And what he says is, we completed what will be obviously the final A Tribe Called Quest album. This isn't no, this isn't filled with old Fife bars. This is that pure, unstepped on pure. And on November 11th, 2016, we will complete our paths of rhythm. Join us. Peace. Q-Tip.
All right, I will save this very quick. They're one of my favorite groups of all
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. Right there with you.
One of my favorite groups. And I got to meet Q-Tip and I got to meet Fife years ago for Gamertag Radio. Actually, even before Gamertag Radio, I met them, but like I interviewed Fife for the show, and that was like a very special moment for me. I'll never forget that. And knowing that the album is coming out on November 11th, that's the same day that the Nintendo Classic Mania is also coming out. So November 11th it's a very special
day. Yeah, it's 2 days before. It's 2 days before my birthday too. I'll be hitting the Magic 4-3 also. Woo,
woo. So yeah, man, back to back. I love hip hop and I love gaming. November 11th is like a special day for me, man. So wow, I had no clue about this. I am super pumped. Oh man. All right. Until next time. See you on Sunday and Paris once again, brother. Happy birthday, man.
4-3.
Go celebrate. 43. Celebrate. And peace next.
Yep.
Next month. 43. All right. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Hey, Gamertag crew. My name is Jane from Australia. Just wondering. And let Daddy dream. You're the best podcast that I've listened to. And so anyway, goodbye.